as the choir was singing, when they got to that part where it says, "You don't know what he's done for me." It wasn't intentional, but I just sort of panned around and I noticed the looks on some faces.
My God, my God.
When he said, "You don't know what he's done for me," I could see Brother Kenny's face that there's some things you don't know what God has done for him. I looked over and I saw, as Reverend Polk sang it, his eyes were closed and he said, "You don't know what he's done for me. I don't know, and you don't know what he's done for me." I looked up and I saw Brother West, and it was just coming all over his face. You don't know. Somehow, I guess when we all got to that point in the song, we sort of took it ourselves. Says, you don't know what God has done in my life. You don't know how God has touched my life. You don't know what God has brought me through. You don't know where I was and God brought me out of situations that I didn't know how I was going to get out of it. Somehow it seemed that as I look back, I could just see on the faces, this was meaningful. And you don't know what he's done for me. So good we can have the testimonies that we have to stir ourselves when we reflect back on where God has brought us, where we were. Didn't think we were going to make it, but look now. Didn't know how we could get through it, but he brought us through it. You don't know. Don't get me started. I can testify about where he brought me from. You don't know what he's done for me. I suppose this is the season for thinking back and reflecting as we approach Thanksgiving. A season to thank God for what he's done. A season to remind ourselves of what he's been doing and what he continues to do in our lives. Thanksgiving. Also, in this season, we have Veterans Day coming up, and we're thankful for what the military have done, the way they have allowed us to be a nation where we're different than others with the freedom we have and the special things that we can look at. We are recognized that we are favored, and God blesses us so much to be thankful for. I'm going to read a portion of that scripture again. Don't stand there, because I'm going to just pick a few verses out of that 73rd Psalm. It says, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But for as for me," listen now, "as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked." It goes on to say, "When I pondered to understand this," in the 16th verse, it was troublesome in my sight until I came into the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived therein, surely you set them in separate places." As I go on, it says, "When my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. When you counseled, you will guide me, and afterwards receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And beside you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For I was envious of the arrogant, and I saw the prosperity of the wicked. But listen now, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. When I focus on my blessings, I am so satisfied." When I focus on my blessings, I am so satisfied. This scripture was written by the chief musician. His name was Asaph, and he He was the chief musician. That meant that he spent a lot of time with the music in the sanctuary. He was one who came in and played the music, and somehow, you know, music is special than any service, because somehow you get stirred by it and you feel it, and that's why the choir is important to it in the service. When you stir and it's real like it was when you sang, it's a part of the service. It's a special part of the service. And when the musicians play music with the soft music, or even when the music is there to stir you, the music is all special. And Nasaph was one who provided the music in the services. And somehow, I don't know just how long he went through this situation, but somehow he continued to recognize that there were some folks who weren't living as they ought to live. Some folks who didn't walk according to the will of God. Some folks who seemed to be wicked in the most terrible ways. But yet, it seemed like they didn't want anything. The wicked seemed to be having a good life. The wicked had all kinds of blessings, it seemed, and somehow Asaph felt, well, I'm okay, but I don't have those blessings. Somehow I look at them, and they look at us who are trying to do the right thing, and they say, well, go ahead and do that. But they go on and do their thing, recognizing it's outside of the will of God, recognizing that they weren't doing what God would have them to do. And he said some of the folks, well, I guess those who were trying to do the right thing started looking and wonder, why am I doing the right thing? I'm not getting blessed by my righteousness. I'm not being blessed by doing what God would have me to do. Look at those folks, the things that they're doing, and yet somehow it seems that everything's all right with them. He said, I got to be envious of the wicked. And somehow I just felt like I just don't know why this is this way, Lord. I suppose not only were they envious of the wicked, but they were also maybe getting just a little bit angry with God. Somehow God wasn't doing for them as they thought he should. Now, you want me to walk this way? I walk this way. You want me to do this thing? And I do that thing. There are those who aren't walking the way you would have them to walk, and the things that they're doing aren't according to your will, and yet you're blessing them, Father. I don't understand that. He said, then I came into the sanctuary of the Lord. I stopped a little while. I guess he meditated. He walked in, and maybe if he were here, he'd be sitting on the pew looking up at the window and allowing the Lord to speak to it. He said, I came in and I sat and I thought about this for a while. And after I thought about it, I realized that I don't know all that they've got. I don't know all the things that are happening in their lives. But I do know this, I have God in my life. I have God as a friend. I have God right now, and those things that they have, they're all temporary. I look and I was jealous about their money. I was jealous about the big houses they had. I was jealous about the blessings they seem to have. All those things that are temporary, but I've got Jesus. I've got God. I've got God, and he's my portion forever, my everlasting portion. I don't have to worry about somebody stealing my God. I don't have to worry about my God wearing out. I don't have to worry about my God not being available when I need him. I don't have to worry because I have a God who is right now with me, and he'll always be right with me. I feel good about knowing that I have the Lord. Somehow it seems that we too often do as Asaph did. We start focusing on what other folks have got and how other folks appear to be blessed. We ought not be worrying about anybody's blessing. If God blesses them, that's a good thing. I'm not worried about somebody else's blessings. I just want to thank God for the blessings that he's putting all over me. I just feel him all over me sometime. Sometimes early in the morning, I get up. And somehow, you know, even places where I don't think there are nerve endings, I can feel a special touch. I know the Lord is with me. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. Somebody's felt his presence early in the morning. Somebody's felt that he's going to be with me now. I can do what I need to do on this day. I'm going to be victorious on this day. I'm going to walk holding on to his hand on this day. Everything's going to be all right because I've got God on my side. I've got his hand right now. His hand doesn't change. His ways are still his ways. His love is still his love. I'm glad to know. I don't know what those wicked folks have, and I don't know how long those things will last. I don't know how much they put into getting what they got. I'm not worried about it. What I'm concerned about is somehow I want to stop focusing on somebody else. Lord, don't let me look over and get excited or jealous or what somebody else has got, because I realize that I need to take some time to thank the Lord for what I've got. I may not have everything that I want, but I make sure that I thank God for what he does give me, because he continues to bless me over and over and over again. Somebody here got a blessing this morning. Somebody got a phone call this morning. Somebody got a blessing that made them realize God knows exactly what they're going through, and God's going to be with them as they go through it. God is so able. He's able. He's able. Isn't it good to know that you got a God who is able, he's powerful, and that same powerful, loving God loves you. I have a relationship with the Lord. I have a friendship with the Lord. I have a friendship that makes me know that when I call on him, he's listening to me. I don't know how the wicked are making it. I don't know how things are. Things may look good in their life, but I know who's got me. I know whose hand I'm holding on to. I know who I can really depend on. I was jealous, he said. I looked at what they had. I looked at how they lived. I looked at the lifestyles. I looked at all those things. And somehow I could not possibly understand why they were being blessed as they are. But God would have us to not even look and to not focus. You know, Satan, one of Satan's most important jobs that he's taken on, he gave it to himself, by the way. One of his most important jobs is to try to destroy our relationship with God. Destroy that relationship. Destroy that relationship. Make us think that God's not listening to us. How does he do that? Well, if it takes a while for God to respond, Satan tells you he's not listening anyhow. Satan tells you you're wasting your breath. Satan wants you to think that you may as well stop praying because you're not going to have your prayer. Satan wants to destroy that relationship. And sometimes things like this, as we said, looking and seeing somebody else who appears to be blessed, and you don't take time to focus and see how blessed you really are. And Satan's going to work that. Satan can use that. Satan's going to tell you, you may as well go ahead and establish that same lifestyle and go ahead and enjoy yourself like they're enjoying themselves. Satan wants to destroy that relationship you have with God. But one of the most beautiful and most important things that you have, the most precious thing that you have, is your relationship with the God of the universe. You got it. You want to hold on to it. Don't let Satan convince you that it's not precious and not eternal. Satan wants you to give up on that relationship. Don't look at what somebody else has got. Don't be jealous of anybody else's blessings. Don't think that God doesn't love you because he's showing somebody else a favor. Don't think that God doesn't know exactly what you need because he hasn't given it to you yet. Don't think that God doesn't still love you the way he did when he had Jesus to die for you. Amen. Don't allow any of those things to cause you to focus on somebody else's blessings and think that God doesn't still love you the way he always did. Asaph said, I feel almost like a beast. I feel foolish. I'm looking at somebody else, and then I recognize when I focus on myself, I've got the Lord. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. He never leaves me or forsakes me. I'm blessed. He's there for me. He answers me even at midnight. I'm blessed. I'm looking at somebody else who seems to be doing all right. But I've got God. I've got God in my life. I've got a relationship with the God of the universe. Powerful God, loving God, knows who I am and loves me. Why should I be concerned about somebody else's blessings? I'm blessed, and I recognize it. I'm really blessed, and I don't mind telling somebody. I can't get jealous of anybody else because I'm so showered with special blessings from the Lord. He continues to bless me. I just every now and then need to stop in the sanctuary of the Lord. I need to stop and meditate just a little while to look how good God is to me. That's what Asaph did. He said, I was going through all this stuff, then I just stopped. I suppose he stopped and he prayed a little while. He stopped and he talked with the Lord a little while. And after he had done that, he realized, I am blessed. I'm not jealous of anybody. I am blessed. I don't need what they've got. I am blessed. What I've got is so much more than I ever could deserve. I've got a relationship with the powerful and loving God of the universe. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. If somebody's doing wrong and not living right, maybe the thing we ought to do is tell them, well, I don't want what you got, but you need what I've got. If there's somebody who's on that downward path, maybe you ought to show enough love to that wicked person to let them know that I'm not jealous of you. No, no, no. I got something that you need. I got something that you ought to have. I've got Jesus. And that's enough. Don't be jealous of the wicked, their lifestyle, the things they seem to do and enjoy so much. Don't be jealous. Don't look at them as if they're being blessed. Recognize them as those who are on the downward path. No, no, you should not be jealous of them. You should have sympathy for them and try to make them understand how special it is. And how beautiful it is to have what we have, which is a relationship with God. Let us talk to the Father. Oh, our Father, our loving God, we thank you, Father, for reminding us that somehow it seems too often we focus on what somebody else has got, almost ignoring all the beautiful things that you have done and are doing in our lives, forgetting that we have an eternal relationship with a powerful and loving God who is able to do anything but fail. Father, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, we know that you're a part of the solution. We know you can make situations that seem to be totally out of hand become totally under control. And we'll look back on each of those situations as a blessing as we see that you, the God of the universe, have not only brought us out, but given us special victories. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Father, for your special love. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus that allowed us to have this relationship with you. We love you, Father, and we recognize we're blessed. Thank you, Father. In the precious name, the powerful, the loving, the adorable name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 My Lord. Please stand. You know that line, the Lord is strength of my life and my portion forever. I suppose the songwriter who wrote the hymn, My Everlasting Portion, was looking at this psalm. Thou my everlasting portion. He's all you need. I don't care what portion they've got, what they have, what somebody else may be able to point to. Jesus Christ is ours. We have a relationship that special, beautiful, everlasting. He is our everlasting portion. But you know, there may be some here who have not said yes to the Lord yet. He's available. He's available. He wants to touch your life. He wants that relationship with you. He wants you to say yes and hold on to his hand as he brings you through and brings you out of whatever it is you find yourself going through in this world. He's there for you. His love is amazing. His love is limitless. Is there someone who wants to say yes to the Lord? Say yes that you're going to accept his death and the punishment that he took to pay for your sins. You're willing to accept all that he went through at Calvary as payment for all of those things that were carrying you and dragging you into hell. He loves you. He loves you. And he's ready right now to wrap his arms around you and make you his own. Is there someone who wants to say yes? Or maybe now you've already said yes to the Lord. He's given you some gifts, and you are committed to use those gifts to serve him. Maybe it's the song that on your heart that you can sing for make people know he's real. I don't know what gifts he may have given you, but you know, and you feel the gifts, and you want to use them for the Lord, and you were going to use them at the place where you said yes to the Lord, but now you're not in that place. But if you'd like for us to like to become a part of helping us here in this household of faith to accomplish all that God would have us to accomplish here on this side of the road, why don't you come on? Is there someone who wants to say yes to the Lord? Someone who wants to give themselves over to Jesus? Or someone who wants to become a part of this household of faith to help us to become more of what God would have us to be in this place, using the gifts that he has given to you? God bless you all.